For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
The doors have opened here at Globe Life Field, and the party is on. Comerica Backyard is where you can find us. Welcome to half number two of the MLB season. Texas Rangers, Baltimore Orioles, it's about to go down. Pitchers duel, Evaldi versus Burns. We had Jacob DeGrom on the bump earlier, still working through the Tommy John recovery. 35 pitches off the mound, working in the slider. That's good news. Tyler Malley, he's on the comeback trail. Dane Dunning, same thing. We had Josh Jung out on the field running around yesterday with Evan Carter. So hopefully things are looking up. This is a big-time series right here. We got the Hall of Famer Eric Nadell live from Cooperstown getting set to join us here as we kick off What You Drinking, What You Thinking here in just a few minutes. Jared Sandler at the top of the hour. We have Lucius Alexander live with us here at the broadcast position, so make sure you stop by, say hello. We'll have a live LA Live from Globe Life Field at the end of the hour. I am curious, Ross, how are we feeling with what you're drinking, what you're thinking coming up? You're going to have to kind of, you know, you're going to have to do a lot of heavy lifting during that segment. I didn't know if all the confidence leaked out of you during the G-Bag of the Day earlier.
Maybe not all of it, but a good majority of it. Yeah. Let's put it at like 67% of it.
All right. So we're working with a third of the general confidence from Ross, but I can't wait to hear from the Tolos what you drinking, what you thinking. Dawson and the Bully back on Monday, and then this time next week we're in Oxnard, California, getting you set for the Cowboys season. So it's a great time, and we got some football for you here. The 10 players, or really just people, because there's some coaches involved as well. That will most be dictating the next year, who will be defining the next year in the NFL. But I wanted to play this sound from Adam Schefter. He was on the Pat McAfee show talking about how eventually here, probably in the relatively near future, they'll be getting to 18 games in the regular season. And he had a little interesting nugget from a conversation he had with somebody this offseason on how the NFL might be trying to, or at least the NFL Players Association is trying to get the players rewarded for more games. I hadn't thought of this, but here's Schefter with a new idea.
I even heard somebody float to me this summer. We were having a debate about the 18 games, and they're like, hey, how do you get the players involved in terms of the valuation of the franchise over time? Because the value of these franchises has skyrocketed so much that how do you give the players that? And I don't know how you do it. I'm not smart enough financially, but look at the prices that these teams are going for.
Oh yeah.
And with all due respect, it is the players who help make it happen, right? So the players get paid while they play, and then they leave, and that's it, right? So how about somehow getting them in on this? Now, I don't know how you do that. I'm not an economist. I'm not smart enough financially to figure it out, but you want to get to 18 games? You want to maximize your revenues? You want to grow the sport around the world? How about giving us a small percentage of the franchise value over time?
My goodness, man, getting the players involved in the ownership. The owners hear that, and they are probably just they're slamming their fists on the table in frustration that this is even being thought about here. I don't know what type of gymnastics they would have to do to pull this off, but that would be pretty wild if you get some players with some ownership stake in the team that they're playing for. I kind of love it.
That's what Caleb Williams is talking about.
That's what Caleb Williams.
He's licking his chops. He's like, I told y'all fools.
I mean, seriously, Caleb Williams is trying to make himself an LLC so he can be tax-free on everything the Bears pay. And that's brilliant. That was a great move. Unfortunately, it didn't work for him.
He's got a good team.
I was listening to Schefter, and I was thinking of Frank Caliendo.
Yesterday. Shout out Frank.
And he's performing. He's got two shows tonight, two tomorrow, right?
Two tonight.
Yeah, check him out at the Improv there. Frank's a great guy. Matter of fact, Gruden got back to me. Like, you know, Frank sent him the picture of John and I, of him and I together. And
yeah.
John's like, oh, I'm sorry I missed you guys. You know, it took Frank to get a hold of him. I text him and he didn't even get back to me. But
yeah, you were trying to get Gruden on the air
with Frank. I was trying to get Gruden on the air to talk about Frank. But yeah, you know, I don't know, man. I mean, there's always ways to, you know, get more revenue, you know. And he's just not throwing stuff up against the wall. I mean, he's talking to somebody from, you know, Players Association, or, you know, he's always going to float ideas. So somebody's thinking about these values of these franchises, and you know, how do the players, you know, reap the benefits from that as well.
Who will define the next 365 days in the NFL, players and coaches-wise? This isn't necessarily just about on-the-field stuff. It could be important looming decisions contractually even, like for Dak Prescott, for instance. This is from Dan Graziano, NFL Insider of ESPN, and he's got a couple of people that he feels like are really going to dictate the next year of the NFL landscape. And the first on the list is Dak Prescott. Thanks to the contract situation that he and the Cowboys find themselves in. We know that Stephen Jones was on the Diana Russini podcast yesterday, and he was talking about actually how they've had conversations recently with Todd France, the agent of Dak Prescott, and with Dak himself, Jerry and Stephen, trying to get this thing figured out. But he said it's gonna take a Houdini act to pull off getting Dak and Lamb and Micah all figured out, because they're all at the top of their own individual positional markets there. So Dak is certainly that's going to be a huge one, and I'm now convinced that we won't get the Dak deal done during training camp. It'll be a topic throughout the season, and then we'll see how he uses his unrestricted free agent leverage as to try and get as much money out of the Cowboys. Is he going to be ready to be gone? But Dak, certainly a guy at 30, 31 years old, still basically in the prime of his career as an unrestricted free agent at the quarterback position, that's going to be huge. And I wonder if is it insane to even ponder the idea of the Cowboys struggling so much that by the trade deadline, a playoff team whose quarterback's banged up could try and get in the mix on trading for just a rental, basically, of Dak Prescott for a playoff run? Is that the most insane thing that could happen this season?
Well, do you have to determine,
for the Cowboys,
is a rental better than getting a third-round pick? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because the Cowboys will get a compensatory pick.
They'll probably get a third-round pick on compensatory if they let him walk.
But if a team's willing to give you a second-round pick for him?
Wow.
But Dak's obviously going to have to sign off.
Dak has got to sign off.
He has
on
to
that.
Sign off on, yeah, the – but yeah, you'd have to think if a team is trying to trade for Dak at the deadline, it's probably because they're a playoff-caliber team whose quarterback's banged up or whatever. So maybe Dak would be interested. Probably not, you know, uprooting everything with a wife and newborn baby and everything like that in the middle of the season.
Let me ask you guys this question, and help me here. If this team – say this team is 4-10 – 4-10 at the say, you know, the around the 1st of December. If they're 4-10 and going nowhere, do you play Trey Lance the last 3-4 weeks of the season?
I think you kind of have to try and.
Dak's healthy. He hasn't signed. You're 4-10 because, and you know, maybe the season just didn't go the way.
Shoot, if it's that bad, Cowboy fans are going to be calling for that earlier.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
See, that's the thing about it, is because you're 4-10, you might have had just go ahead and get rid of Mike McCarthy. Because if Mike McCarthy's like, I'm not interested in playing Trey Lance, then you would go, okay, well, then now you're done. And you put Al Harrison as the coach. Or, I mean, I was on some podcasts this morning talking about that. And would you consider playing? I mean, say Trey Lance does okay during this summer training camp, but Dak's playing, but the team doesn't do well. Do you say, okay, now we need even a more regular season look of,
yes,
Trey Lance?
Yeah, I think you would absolutely. That'd be the only way to gain something from this season. If by December you're completely out of the playoff conversation, then the only way that you can get something tangible out of this season is to perhaps see what you have in Trey Lance. And it might be tough on him.
It means benching Dak Prescott.
Yeah, but at 4-10, I don't think that's overly controversial.
No.
Especially given the context of Dak's about to be a free agent. We want to see what we have in Trey Lance
right
here. Because, yeah, you traded for Trey Lance, a fourth-round pick, and – there's a decent chance the only thing you know about him is the way he practices and the way he plays in some preseason games.
Right.
Because he's a free agent as well here. So I think that would be the one silver lining of a crappy season is, well, at least we can get three or four games and see what we have in Trey Lance, if anything. And then that gives you a better idea of what you want to do.
So you guys are good with that, right?
Yeah, totally. If the season's out, I mean, if the postseason is out of reach in the final month of the season or whatever, you'd be insane not to put Trey Lance out there and see what you got.
Yeah,
you
got to sit on that
now. Does that kill you of giving any chance of signing Dak after the season?
I don't think so. I mean, you'd have to level with him, and I'm sure Dak would not like the idea of it just because the competitor that he is, but he would also have to understand the situation. And for him, that's now 4 weeks. He doesn't have to worry about getting injured right before stepping into unrestricted free agency.
Sure.
You know, but ultimately, I think Dak would have to understand. You go man-to-man conversation with him. I mean, it's not like, Dak, you suck, and we're about to go on in the playoffs. We don't trust you. It's like, our season's done, dude. Yeah. We're going to see what we have in this guy. I mean, I think Dak would understand that, but I think you got to do it. I think you got to do it. You got to put Trey Lance in there if the season's going down spiraling. C.J. Stroud is a guy that will have a lot of, you know, something to say when it comes to defining the next year of the NFL. When it comes to the Texans, hey, this is a team on the up and up here. Rookie head coach D'Amico Ryans, rookie quarterback, they were fantastic last year. But the schedule is so much more difficult, and now you have expectations, and now you're not just hiding with noon kicks every week. You're going to be playing in some primetime spots. You got some pressure and expectations, and one of the most difficult schedules in the league. I think they, with the roster this year, or this offseason, they've kind of gone all in, and they've added more talent. I think they should be even better just on paper than what they were last year. But I could see this season not being as fruitful in terms of a regular season win standpoint as it was for them last year. A lot of that it has to do with the schedule. And then, again, dealing with expectations as a franchise that isn't really used to them.
Is Aaron Rodgers on that list?
Aaron Rodgers absolutely on this list. Because, I mean, the Jets have, like, the widest spectrum of what could happen to them.
Everybody's picking the Jets as, like, their top 10 team in the league.
Because on paper, you can understand why, but if you understand what the Jets are and the just the flimsiness of the health of Aaron Rodgers, guys like Tyron Smith, I mean, that's always just a ticking time bomb with the Jets. So I don't know how you can be confident in it. But on paper, you can fool yourself. Hey, if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, huge if, and if he's performing well at an age and off an injury that it would be pretty much the first of its kind, I don't know how you could put any trust in Aaron Rodgers. But he's certainly a guy on this list in terms of how the next year of the NFL will be defined, because if he channels his MVP self and stays healthy, the Jets, you know, they have the type of players that you feel like they could be a team to be reckoned with. But I got no trust in them at all. Caleb Williams, who has the better rookie year, Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels?
Williams.
The better rookie year.
Williams.
Okay. And you think big picture as well, obviously. He was your favorite quarterback in this draft.
He was, but, I mean, I love the LSU kid. Don't get me wrong. But I think if you look overall, I think that Williams has better skilled players right now. I think their team, the Bears, are built right now to make that Houston Texan-type jump that we saw last year. You know, maybe be competitive in the division. Won 7 games last year. You know, maybe this guy can find a way to win 2-3 more games. You know, instead of, you know, 9 wins, instead of 7 wins, they have 9 wins or 10 wins. So I think there's things with the Commanders defensively that are going to be a problem for Jaden Daniels to have to deal with. He's going to have to be playing behind in a lot of games.
Yeah. Yeah, and the offensive line stuff scares me.
Yeah, sure.
With the Commanders right there. So I would go Caleb Williams year 1 over Jaden Daniels
as
well.
Sure.
Now, Derrick Henry's also on this list. You know, is Derrick Henry the missing piece of the roster that will finally get Lamar Jackson and the Ravens past Kansas City and get him into the Super Bowl? I think that's a lot to ask for a 30-year-old running back. But, I mean, this dude, I mean, he's coming off yet another 1,000-plus yard season, 6 straight season with at least 12 touchdowns. He was over 4 yards per carry. So it's not like he's really dropped off all that much, but it can happen overnight for running backs in year, you know, when you're 30 years old. I was reading he pays $250,000 a year on his body. We know LeBron was like $1 million
dude. Yeah.
So Derrick Henry budget, he's like, let me get that quarter of a mil.
Trainer, food.
Exactly.
Equipment.
And, I mean, that's how – and you see these videos. Like, you've seen the Derrick Henry workout videos. This dude works out like a monster.
Seriously?
Like, like the explosiveness and all these different, like, athletic sort of strength movements. It's pretty – it's a marvel to watch.
Might have to steal some for that, brother.
Yeah, dude. He's got the personal chef. I mean, this is how you last as long as Derrick Henry has. I mean, with all the – with all the carries and the mileage on that body dating back to high school, let alone his time at Alabama and then now in the league. But, yeah, he spends about $250,000 a year, personal chef, no fried foods, gluten, no gluten, no dairy, no artificial sugars. How about this? During the season, Derrick Henry during the season doesn't eat his first meal until 4 or 5 p.m.
Okay.
So relatable.
He's a faster meal a day. Huh?
Yeah, I guess that's like the intermittent fasting stuff, but playing, like if you got a noon game and you're just going to go into an empty stomach style.
I can't do that.
I mean, it's clearly working for him.
Chili dog at halftime with Brett Favre.
A protein shake or something.
Yeah. Let's see. One other meal. So first meal's at 4 or 5 in the afternoon during the season. Then he has another meal around 8
breakfast? Do you eat breakfast? You guys eat breakfast?
Yes.
I generally speaking, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't always like that, but now...
Yeah, I usually don't eat till like about noon, 1 o'clock.
Yeah, and I've done that before too. Yeah. And it's a nice way to keep the weight in a nice place.
Yeah,
it really is. Yeah. But being an athlete and doing that, I guess in the off season he says his first meal is around 1 p.m. But he eats a lot when he does eat. He says he probably eats. This is Derrick Henry. He eats 3 chicken breasts, some rice, some broccoli. Then he has some gluten free pancakes, scrambled eggs. Diced potatoes.
Yeah, he's eating a lot, bro.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Home fries.
There we go.
So diced. So he's got two different versions of
starch.
You know, he's eating a lot of potatoes.
And then he says, and some steak.
Yeah.
To wash all that down, have a little steak. I like that. He says,
and a gravy martini to follow.
Yeah. And a little A1. Yeah, a little A1 chaser.
He says before practice, Derrick Henry says he might have some kale or an avocado or a banana to get something in his system.
And then, like he already didn't have anything in his system?
3 days a week, he takes IV fluids with all sorts of different nutrients in there.
Like
so,
a rock star after a night of hanging out in Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. this dude, he works out in Dallas. Derrick Henry does. That's why he wanted to be a Cowboy so bad. And apparently he does 2-a-day workouts at this performance center, and he's got no off days. So he's like seven days a week, 2-a-days workouts. And then he's doing all sorts of hyperbaric chambers and, you know, saunas and ice baths and stuff. But, my gosh, Derrick Henry, I saw that. $250,000 a year on his body.
That's a hell of a schedule to keep up, by the way. Don't burn yourself out there, brother.
My gosh, dude, 7 days a week.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And his workouts. 2-a-days? His workouts are no joke, dude. I love that,
though. Is he on the Deshaun Watson program, you said?
In what sense?
Well, just spending money on stuff.
Oh,
spending money on his body.
He's getting the massages.
Yeah,
but I think they're all above board.
Oh,
if you know what I'm saying.
All right, okay, making sure.
All right, we are live at Globe Life Field.
Deshaun said, "Man, that ain't no massage, bro."
G-Mac Nation on a Friday. Lucius Alexander is live with us here. You can come say hello, Comerica Backyard inside the ballpark. And it's time for What You Drink and What You Think, and we go into the Expressway commercial free. We'll close it down with L.A. Live. Eric Nadel, Hall of Fame voice of the Rangers, live from Cooperstown, joins us next in The Nation.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The doors are open here at Globe Life Field. Welcome to the second half of the Rangers 2024 season, ladies and gentlemen. And a big shout-out to the on-time experts. It's the Expressway commercial-free to the top of the hour. Then we'll get you Jared Sandler and get you set for the Rangers pregame show with the O's in town, Evaldi versus Burns. It's big. And what you drinking, what you thinking, your phone calls, 877-881-1053. We will get to those here in just a few minutes. Right now, we welcome in the Hall of Fame voice of the Texas Rangers. It's Eric Nadel. Brought to you by Tylock, George, and Eye Care. He's live in Cooperstown, New York, getting set for the Hall of Fame festivities. And he joins us now on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Eric, thanks for the time, my friend. Cooperstown, what's the vibe?
Yeah, well, I literally just arrived, just walked into the Airbnb, and getting ready for excitement. This is going to be fantastic. You know, we've got Jerry Fraley winning the Writers' Excellence Award. A really close friend of mine, Joe Castiglione, the Red Sox radio announcer, the winner of the Frick Award this year. And then, of course, Adrian Beltre and Joe Mauer and Todd Helton and Jim Leland getting inducted on Sunday. So it's going to be a fabulous weekend.
Hey, Eric, you mentioned Jim Leland. How many managers back in the day were smoking cigarettes in the dugout?
You know, a lot of them were back in the day.
Like Earl Weaver? You know, was Earl Weaver a smoker?
He was. He was. In fact, Don Stanhouse, who was the closer for the Orioles in 1979 when they went to the World Series, had a nickname of Full Pack because Earl Weaver would smoke an entire pack of cigarettes during the ninth inning when Stanhouse was pitching. Because it was always a tightrope act with Stanhouse on the mound.
Unbelievable, man. Yeah, the cigarettes and the beer, I mean, that was synonymous.
And the thing was, you know, there were players who smoked in the dugout, you know, back in the day. You know, I believe Joe DiMaggio smoked in the dugout. Charlie Huff with the Rangers and Buddy Bell both used to smoke. And, you know, they might just step behind the dugout and grab a smoke, but sometimes they would just sit in the dugout and smoke. It wasn't unusual at all, right up until probably the mid to late 80s.
What type of debauchery did you allow in the broadcast booth there?
Well, it's funny because Mark Holtz was a smoker, and you know he would occasionally light up in the booth, and it was okay back then.
Wow!
And he decided he wanted to get rid of his smoking habit, and one day in Boston he went to a hypnotist and got cured of his smoking addiction in one session with a hypnotist. I remember him going off somewhere into, you know, some little town outside of Boston in the morning of a game. And he came back, and that evening, you know, sure enough, he walked into the booth and he had no cigarettes, and he never had another one.
Wow, cold turkey. That's fantastic.
Cold turkey.
Eric Nadel, Hall of Fame voice of the Texas Rangers, with us here in the G-Bag Nation, brought to you by Tylock Georgia Eye Care. Now, Eric is live in Cooperstown, but how did you spend your All-Star break?
Oh, it was great. You know, I watched the Home Run Derby, and I watched the All-Star game, both from home. I decided not to battle the crowds. Mm. And the last two nights were just spectacular. On Wednesday night, I went to see Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever play the Dallas Wings. I had never been to a Dallas Wings game before, and I was blown away. The caliber of play was so good. She was incredible. She had 19 assists, and if her teammates were any better, she could have had 30 assists in that game.
Wow.
In the first quarter alone, I counted 7 feeds that she made to set up teammates with open shots where they didn't convert. Either they just missed the shot or they didn't catch the pass to begin with. But the Dallas Wings were really good. You know, they won the game. They have a couple of really exciting players, and I will definitely try to go back. The problem is their games are very often at the same time as the Ranger games. But I'd also never been in the College Park Center at UTA, and it's a wonderful little arena. You know, all the seats are great. Yeah, I really enjoyed the whole experience. I urge people to go and, you know, support the Dallas Wings. And then last night I was fortunate enough to MC a local music showcase at the Firehouse Gastro Park in Grand Prairie with two of my favorite local artists, Remy Riley and the Half-Guided Hearts. And we had a really nice turnout. It's a free show, and we're going to do another one in September or October. But it's a really interesting venue. It's an outdoor venue. They have bands and misters and a lot of shade, and you know, people should check it out. The Firehouse Gastro Park, it's on Main Street in Grand Prairie.
Eric, as a Hall of Famer, what is your favorite part of the Hall of Fame?
The museum itself. You know, the plaque gallery is just so overwhelming, so overpowering to actually see, you know, the bronze plaques of all of these guys, you know, going back to Ty Cobb and Babe Ruth and the original class of the Hall of Fame. You know, I've been there several times, and it still just absolutely wows me. Now, I haven't been there in 10 years, you know, since the year that I won the Frick Award. So it'll be fun for me to go see the broadcaster's wall of fame in there and see the 10 guys who have won the award since I did and, you know, see them pictured up there. Amazingly, the year after I won the Frick Award and had my plaque go up, Dick Enberg won. And Dick Enberg was an idol of mine. And, you know, he took him a while to win because he hadn't done that much baseball. But eventually, you know, the Frick committee decided that, you know, he was so good, they needed to put him in, even though he didn't do that many years of baseball. And so Dick Enberg wound up calling me to find out, you know, what the Hall of Fame weekend would be like and what he needed to know, which was, I mean, just so surreal. Dick Enberg's asking me something that he needs to know. When to me, he's like, he's on my Mount Rushmore of sports broadcasters, and he's asking me for advice. It was hilarious.
That's awesome. That's a pinch yourself moment right there.
Nobody wore that NBC blazer better than him.
Facts.
The various colors over the years, he was a tremendous broadcaster.
He was great, just incredibly articulate. You know, he and Vin Scully are the two that I think of when people talk about the announcers who use the language the best. You know, those are the two, no question.
All right, Eric, before we let you out of here, man, on a Friday, what you drinking, what you thinking?
You know, I'm here in Cooperstown, and I haven't been drinking alcohol for a few months. And I'm going to be really tempted this weekend. And Cooperstown has a lot of breweries. It's known for having, you know, some really great local beer. So this may be the weekend I fall off the wagon. I'm not really sure. But what I'm thinking is, you know, all baseball fans should make it to Cooperstown at some point.
Yeah.
The induction weekend is not necessarily the best time to come, you know, unless you specifically want to come and support an Adrian Beltre or, you know, some favorite player. You know, it's better to go really in the spring or in the fall when it's not that hot here, although the weekend weather for this weekend looks like it's going to be amazing with temperatures in the 70s. But baseball fans should make it a point. It's not easy to get here. You know, you can fly to Newark. It's about a three-hour drive. You can fly to Syracuse or Albany, and it's a little over a one-hour drive. But it is definitely worth the effort.
I love it. Eric Nadel, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the time, Eric. Enjoy your time in Cooperstown, and we'll chat with you next week.
Sounds good.
There he goes, Hall of Fame voice of the Texas Rangers. It's the G-Bag Nation live at Globe Life Field. We're in the midst of the expressway on a Friday. Thank you to the on-time experts, commercial-free, LA Live in a few minutes. But right now, we take your calls at 877-881-1053. What you drinking? What you thinking? I'm drinking some beautiful Dasani water right now out of the bottle, consuming some microplastics and hydrating myself.
Yeah, you got plastic nuts now, bro.
Yeah, RIP to those things. But I'm thinking about a fun family weekend ahead. My youngest brother is actually getting married. He's the final one to...
Really? You're going to do the family wedding thing this weekend?
We got the family wedding. It's a wedding. It's local, so we don't have to go crazy or whatever, but I had to pick up my men's warehouse suit that doesn't fit at all that I had to rent for $250, so bleep you to my brother for that one. But excited for a fun weekend, man. I'm going to tear it up. There's a tequila bar.
Is it small in the thighs? Is your suit small in the thighs?
A little bit thigh, a little bit high. Seeing some ankle bone, a little too much ankle bone. And how about a tie that goes, like, above your belly button?
Yeah, you're going to look ridiculous.
Like, wow, when I take off this jacket, I'm going to look like a schmo. But that's what you do. That's what you do for your bros. What you got, Broadus? What you drinking?
I'll tell you what. I have a bottle of water. It's over on the counter here, but I haven't gotten up in a while, so it's still over there.
Oh, I can get it for you.
That's okay. You can leave it there. It's fine.
Yeah, because you are lounging over there, Broadus. You got one hell of a chair.
Why don't you drink the Bud Light?
Oh, good, man.
That
you go ahead.
Just got
go
for
ahead.
You.
Go ahead. That's you, man. Drink them up. But no, is that we all? That's yours. I thought he got it from you.
That's an ice cold Bud Light from Mardi Gras Broadus.
Well, Lucius got me a Bud Light then, so. What I'm thinking is, like, yeah, this is the last weekend that I'm going to have off for a while.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, with us going to camp and all that. So
football time in Texas.
Football time in Texas. But, yeah, when we kick it off on Wednesday the 24th, I won't take any time off until May 1st, until after the draft. So it gets here pretty quickly and it goes pretty long, but I'm really excited about the coverage and all that stuff that we're going to have out there at camp and then for the season.
I love it. Lucius.
Shine time on Broadus.
Yeah, it is, man.
Shine time, baby.
Time to go dominate, baby.
Let me see. I am drinking. I've had a whole gallon almost. Look at there.
Yeah, look at that.
That's
nice
pretty much
work.
A gallon. And I've had most of it this morning because I was out last night.
Deep man, that's good.
So I had a little ladies' night action?
So I had to wake up. I was like, and also have a tequila sitting here next to me. I've had two sips of it. And what am I thinking? I'm thinking I just want to give a shout-out to the bartenders out there, bro.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout-out to the bartenders. I did not understand your world like that, and I'm still understanding it. You know, you can be like a celebrity bartender, like a bartender influencer guy. Did you know you could do that?
Man, it doesn't surprise me, but I did not know there was an industry for it.
Bartenders are famous. My cousin's birthday was this week. I think it was, I believe it was on Wednesday. We celebrated on Thursday what I thought was going to be a birthday party, but it was him bartending at another bar and just all of us showing up there. He was like guest DJing, guest bartending.
Wow. Okay.
I was going to ask you.
Bartender type of vibes.
Can you be a celebrity bartender? Better to be a celebrity bartender or a celebrity DJ?
Man.
Those DJs make a ton of money, right?
Celebrity DJs make a whole lot of money. Yeah. They barely know what they're doing. They just use a name. I would have to go with celebrity DJ, but the bartender situation is popping out here. I had no idea, man. My man, like, he's popular. People know who he is. Well, like, you're a famous bartender? That's crazy.
He better enjoy it now because these robot bartenders are coming for him,
this
dude.
Beer is cool.
I mean, we're in the home of the original, the Adam robot bartender who overserved our national anthem singer the other night at the Derby.
Yeah, I'm going to go down there and plug that thing.
I know, dude. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, so shout out to all the bartenders out there.
Amen.
And that Misty one right there, too, by the way.
Yeah, salute to her in particular. All right, let's go back into the Pimm Cup where Ross is just hopefully staying afloat in there. Ross, before we get to the phone calls, what are you drinking and what are you thinking?
What am I drinking? I have what I call the fan special where I double fist. One cup is coffee and the other is water.
Love that. Love that. It's a great combo.
And then what I'm thinking is man... These Rangers, I kind of said this to our boss, Gavin Spittle, the other day. I was like, you know what? I wasn't too sure about this Rangers team. Just, you know, they've been so inconsistent. But after that Astros series, I am excited for this upcoming series, especially in Baltimore of all teams.
Amen, dude. It's going to be big. It's huge. And I look forward to breaking down this series with Jared Sandler at the top of the hour. But commercial freestyle, we take your phone calls, 877-881-1053. Ross, who is first?
Man, first we got a Tolo in Garland.
What's going on, fellas? This guy must be new because my name's Polo. Lucius, right. You guys know who. Y'all know who I am. I had a heart attack last month, so I haven't really called y'all that much. I've been trying to calm my nerves down. Yeah, I told you I had a heart attack, you know, but, you know, I keep you guys, you know, on the radio all the time.
Polo, I'm sorry to ask you that, but how do you know?
Arm pain?
Man, it felt like somebody just had their fist on my chest and just wouldn't let it go. You know how I always talk about my girl, Lucius? My girl thought I was playing. I'm telling her to call 911. Then when Garland finally got here, they took me out with a Rod Laker. Garland's so big. If the Tolo was listening to me, Garland is the 12th largest city in Texas, but we don't even have a hospital, which is dumb. Mm. Now, I can't drink anything, but I'm up here thinking some stuff. Now, I got a bottle of Jameson on my board, but I can't drink it. Now, what I'm thinking is Dallas still building the tallest building besides Bank of America with the Goldman Sachs? Because I've been driving by there by the AAC with the hall being built by the museum, and it don't look like they really built the largest building in Dallas no more. It's like it's going to be about 13 or 14 stories. Now, the Dallas Mavericks, they finally won a game today in Summer League. I can't believe it. I have no faith in the Cowboys. Me having faith in the Cowboys is like the devil singing lead in the choir. It's just not going to happen. Broadus, I know y'all going to enjoy y'all trip to California. You'll get a shot for me, but the Cowboys ain't going to do squat. And the Rangers, if y'all just hit the doggone ball, man, quit thinking y'all so pretty. This is our championship last year. Hit the ball, Adolis Garcia, dummy.
No, damn. All right, yes. Heck of a phone call right there from our guy Polo in Garland. And
that was scary. My man said he had a heart attack, bro.
He did.
And so nonchalant.
And this lady thought he was joking.
Yeah.
Just like Red Fox when he was on the set of his show. Red Fox always goes, this is the big one. This is the big one.
Yes.
Well, he was doing that same thing on the show. Something going on. And everybody was laughing and joking at him as my man was dying.
Oh, my gosh. polo. I'm glad that didn't. I'm glad that didn't fully get you, man. That's crazy. I did not know about that. He's saying he told us, but I don't remember him telling
us
that.
Just think about being one of those people that saw Red Fox die and was like, "Yeah, I was laughing.
I was laughing at it. I was pointing.
It was hilarious. It was a killer."
All right, back in the Pimp Cup, Ross. Who's next?
We got Kenny in Quinlan.
There we go.
Voila!
What you drinking?
Gentlemen, this is show number 196.
Wow.
Frozen margarita with fresh watermelon and two shots of that good old rock and roll tequila.
Tequila.
Shout out to Broadus.
Thank you.
Chuck, Teofalo, Alexander family, the Dawson family, and Ross. Want to give a shout out to you guys. Thank y'all. Good job.
Thank you.
Shout out to those chips off the old blocks, the Pee Wee hockey playing grandsons landing in Madison. And what you thinking? Has anyone ever grew up in a home where rolling your eyes was considered talking back?
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. And don't suck your teeth either.
Yeah. Or your mom would say, wipe that look off your face before I do.
Mm-hmm.
How many times did you get in trouble at school, get a spanking at school with a paddle, and then go home, get another spanking from your mom, and when dad got home, the mess hit the fan?
Yeah.
And the parents told you, the spanking's going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt me. Yeah, but it's my butt you're hitting.
Yeah.
You received all your vitamins from the sun and Fred Flintstone, of course. And when we got hurt, we were told to walk it off. We got hydration from a hose. And now, that was in the old days, and now I get my hydration from that good old rock and roll tequila.
Hey. Amen. Cheers to that. Kenny and Quinlan, the legend. Was that show 196, he said?
Yeah, that's what he said.
My gosh, dude. I mean, he's gone through two new hips in the process of his streak right now.
The best thing is when he shows up at a remote and introduces himself as Kenny from Quinlan. And then everybody, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's a sight to behold.
He's made himself a brand.
Sight to behold.
I hate when the principal the assistant principal, that's the one that gives you the paddle, right? Yeah. Or the coach. I hate when they call the parents after the fact. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like one or the other, dude.
Whooping, bro.
One or the other.
Come on, fam. You going to mess up my at-home life, too? You're already messing up my at-school life.
Yeah. I never had to experience the school spankings. I'm glad that was not part of my generation there, but that seems like an absolute nightmare.
That was ours.
All right, back into the Pimp Cup. Here's Ross. Who's next? What you drinking? What you thinking?
I mean, who else but Rodeo Ron?
Oh, big Ron dog. I know what you're drinking, homie. What you got?
I got that Jim Beam with a splash of sweet tea, baby. Look, it's second half baseball time in Texas. And our Rangers, we're only 5 games back in the division. So Ray Davis and Chris Young, go show everyone else why everything is bigger and better in Texas. It's time to make a trade or two in order for these Texas Rangers to make it to October and November, because the race is on to make the Texas Rangers great again in 2024, baby. If you're not hanging out with Rodeo Ron, listen to 105.3 The Fan, drinking Jim Beam.
Where the F you at? Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice work, Ron.
Whoa.
Yes, sir. I like that energy into half number two. We got to get this place fired up for the Rangers tonight. Eovaldi versus Burns. It's going down. All right, one more, Ross. What you got, man? Who's next?
We got Tim out in Carthage, and I do want to give a shout-out to Tim because he was on it. I'm talking like 20 minutes before this was going live. He was calling in.
OG.
Hey guys, how you doing, Eric? Y'all doing well? I know that everybody's having a good time out at the Globe. I'm drinking a little margarita today. One time for Lucius. This is Nolan Ryan for American Standard Air and Brian Brock.
Yeah.
No, I can't do that. I can't do that. This week, Eric, it's your turn in the barrel. You know, Brian was in the barrel a couple of weeks ago because he told one of you boys to shut up on the air. Well, Eric, son, I sent Zach some birthday vodka last weekend on Friday, and you got it because the DoorDash people can't figure out the difference between Fort Worth, Texas, and Plano, Texas. Well, I asked you, I said, Zach, would you please take it over there to Zach and give it to him and tell him happy birthday? You know what you told me? You told me I'll tell him how good it was on Sunday's show at Best New Restaurant. A friend would have done it. Now, if you ever do that again. I used to be a principal, by the way, Lucius. And if you ever do that again, Eric, me and you going to have a come-to-Jesus meeting like me and Brian did the other day. Now, one last thing. Grandparents, you cannot have a better time than taking your grandchild to a Rangers baseball game on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
It was a blast for me, and it's worth every penny and all the heat and all the traffic. Take your grandchildren to a Rangers game on a Sunday afternoon. Tim Rackliff, Tim and Carthage, you're not supposed to use last names, but that's okay. Lucius, I love you, man.
Cheers, Pappy. I'll drink to that, my friend.
Yeah, man.
Nice work. Tim from Carthage here on a What You Drinking, What You Thinking Friday in the G-Bag Nation. We're live at Globe Life Field. Lucius here in attendance, and it's time for L.A. Live.
All right, here we go, man. Let's get into L.A. Live on a Friday, Payday Friday, right after the great Rick James. Come on, Ross!
Oh!
Yeah!
Well, all right, you squares.
Where'd you get this from?
Call that world champion Kush.
Yeah. Hey, this is LA Live for Friday, July 19th, 2024. It is a Freestyle Friday here in LA Live. That's when I try to get all the things that I've been sitting in my folder out of my folder for the next week. All right, so sit with me and relax. LA Live is sponsored by Kissable Dental and their no bill guarantee. Book online at kissabledental.com. Your kissable journey starts today. Avoid the law dogs this weekend. I tell you this every Friday. Avoid the law dogs. Mind your speeds on this road. Don't drink and drive. Keep your emotions in check, because I don't want to see you on Dallas, Texas TV Saturday morning. And I don't want to see you on DFW Scanner this weekend, okay? Ross, could you give me a weekend warning?
A weekend warning, you say?
Yes, sir. Cut number one.
It's Butt Naked Wednesdays.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's I was confused about that one,
too. It's the Bedussy right there.
Cut number one.
All right, going to have to pull that up from a different folder. One sec.
If you go to jail, stay out of jail.
Yeah.
Establish dominance.
Give it to me, Broadus.
If you go to jail, wait. What else you got to do? There's four things you got
to do.
Do
not add to the population. Don't add to the population.
Don't distract from the population. If you go to jail, establish dominance or prove you're dominant or something like that.
No, you did that right there.
Yeah.
So don't crash out this weekend, y'all. Gosh, Ross, I definitely want to get to this clip where this man on the 4th of July, he crashed out. Now, this is a 4th of July clip. But I told you I'm trying to empty out the folder, all
right? Right.
So it's been sitting in there for a while, but it is for the crash out moment. Ross, do we have that there, buddy?
Yes, we do.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I got faith in your homeboy. Yeah, this gentleman right here, he had a top hat on, you know, living in America type of top hat, and then he put the fireworks on top of his to show off.
No.
Hey, man, it was a whole party in this cul-de-sac. Everybody was having a good time, but he crashed on out. Don't be this guy. Ross, give me that.
I had a chance to talk to Dorchester County Coroner Paul Brothers about what was an easily preventable tragedy.
Approximately 10:20 last night, we received a call, or the Sheriff's Department and EMS received a call about an injury suffered by an individual while engaging in shooting fireworks.
This happened on Cottonwood Drive in the Crestwood subdivision. The man who was involved in this incident was 41-year-old Alan Ray McGrew. There was nothing emergency crews could do to help him when they arrived. He was pronounced dead at 11:10 p.m.
Well, according to witnesses and family members at the scene, the decedent was standing in the roadway on Cottonwood Drive and had on a large top hat and put the firework device on top of that, lit it, put it on top of his head, and it exploded. And he suffered a massive head injury.
The police report says McGrew started drinking at 6 p.m. and his wife tried to get him to not put the firework on his head, but she said he was trying to show off.
These kinds of incidents are 100% preventable, as you know. Yeah. Unfortunately, right. Some bad judgment right. was used.
Yeah, sure it was.
So wait, so this dude lit a firecracker off his own head, and his head exploded.
He had Uncle Sam hat on.
In front of
Uncle
his Sam entire family.
On. He had an Uncle Sam suit on, Uncle Sam hat, put the firework on top of his head, drunk, and blew himself up. Wife said, don't do it. He said, baby, I got to show them. It's my time. It's shy time.
I'm just imagining like a Kill Bill blood splattering. Yeah. I mean, what an awful way to I mean, that is ridiculous for an entire community. Yeah. I imagine him on the cul-de-sac in front of the entire neighborhood.
Yeah. Now, you need a doorknob and I think, what, a rope to kill Bill, actually? G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media, Lucius Alexander on Facebook, or you can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner. We try to get to this on G-Bag of the Day, but hey, we got a lady. She caught a couple in the pool. Knocking the boots, Gina. Knocking the boots. This is an apartment pool. This is broad daylight.
Hey, I definitely just called security on the both of y'all nasty asses while you out here done took your dirty ass panties off in that nasty ass water. That's so disgusting. Kids, get in that damn pool. You need to put your nasty ass panties back on, jump your ass back over that f***ing balcony and get the f*** out that pool, because that's so disgusting. All the places you can have sex, you gonna choose to have sex out here in the damn pool? That's so f***ing nasty and dirty as f*** in a chlorine pool. It's okay, I took your video and security is on the way.
Oh, no, not security is on the way security and the way. Video. So now you got my performance in your iCloud or whatever.
Well, and she put that thing on the internet.
She sure did.
That is like the viral video of the week right here. The two most disgusting adults. Adults. This isn't even like high school kids.
Yeah, she did that for cloud. Mr. Ross and everybody else listening, this is a payday. You guys got any plans for your money this weekend?
Oh, geez, that credit card bill already had to eat up a good chunk for you. Of that, to be honest with you.
You're being responsible. Good you for know? You, yeah. sir.
Pay all your bills.
Good for you. Good for you. Yeah, it is a payday weekend. Ross, can you give me some of that payday vibes real fast?
Man, I wish. I
that
wish.
That is cut number three, sir.
Ooh, you got it. You got it.
See, the hood's been good.
Hey!
$100 bills, y'all.
Oh,
if you were from where I'm from, then you would know that I gotta get mine in a
back
big black
it, back
truck.
It up, back,
you can get
back,
yours in a back, 6 ball.
Back it up, y'all. All right, yeah. Enjoy your payday. Don't spend all your money at one place. This is LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Freestyle Friday. All week I've been wanting to get to talk about the Is What It Is podcast with Cam and Mace and how they're going back and forth with Shakur Stevenson and his manager, the notorious Jay Prince.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to get to it.
Oh, no.
I'm not. I just don't have the time. I'm not going to be able to get to it. But keep your eye on that situation.
Maybe Monday.
We got some serious beef going down.
We got some serious beef. Yeah. Shakur Stevenson is responding to anybody that has anything about you saying that his fights are boring. He's responding to you.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow. 4-hour rants he's doing on Twitter. But I'm going to keep it on It Is What It Is podcast because Coach K, you guys familiar with Coach K?
Coach K.
Okay, so Coach K was walking by the studio that Cam and Mace record their show in. You know, it's a public studio. You bought your studio time and, oh, hey, there's Coach K.
Right, right.
So Cam ran out there to try to talk to Coach K. Coach K yelling in the hall, Coach K, Coach K. Coach K starts walking faster. I hear somebody calling my name. I don't want to talk to you. I'm going to start walking fast.
Oh, walking away from you.
I'm moving away from whoever's calling my name. I'm not even going to look back. I don't even hear you is what Coach K is doing.
Yeah, you can't even look back. If you're going to do that, you got to stay solid looking forward. I never even heard anything.
Straight snubbed Cam and Mace. Well, Cam in particular. This is going to be cut four right here, Mr. Ross. Cameron did some snitching. What do you say, buddy?
That'd be great.
Who?
Yo, that's Coach K.
Yo, go get him. Yo, love him.
Get Coach K. You're wilding. Yo, that was Coach K. It was Coach K. That's how fans be with you.
Coach K gonna walk past us. Coach, act like him.
All them Duke jerseys we bought.
Yeah, man.
Okay, so
make me do an investigation on Coach K behind that.
All them banks you got in North Carolina, I know what's going on. You think, now, that. Now I'm a sports coach. Hey, you think you got Zion for free before the NIL? You got that? You own? Hey, Google, stop, could you Google this real quick? How many banks do Coach
K own? I'm not going to be a part of this. I'm not going to be a part of it.
Coach K, Coach K own mad banks in North Carolina, and he's been funneling money for years. You've been funneling money for years, man. I don't give a yeah, give me a solo. Coach K got mad banks in North Carolina. Zion to Grant Hill to everybody on Crystal Lake. He been putting it through his banks so it looks legitimate. Everybody left. I signed off for us. And he been paying for years before the NIL. Think I don't know. I know about you, Coach. If we got to do the is what it is investigation on you, I'll send down to Chapel Hill. That's not because I know Duke is in another part, but I know what part you're at.
Yeah, they cut the show off on him right there because Cam'ron was doing a whole lot of snitching again.
He was the one that said he was on record saying he's anti-snitch.
Anti-snitch. And you called him out for the first snitch.
Yeah.
And now this is a second snitch.
Wow.
From Mr. Anti-Snitch himself, Mr. Cam'ron. I'm just saying, keep an eye on Cam'ron snitching out here on these streets.
We're going to have to. Wow, dude. Coach K, it's a shame. I mean, now that Coach K's out, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He might be good.
Yeah, it's nothing. Nobody's going to go back and retroactively do anything to Coach. Because they all get money like that.
Or they're
now.
All getting money. All exactly. Getting money,
yeah. Yeah, they all get money like that. What else did I have for you boys lined up? Nah, I'm not going to do that one. Before we get out of here, ooh, we up against it. Nope, that's right. It. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. Now we're up against it. I got to go. That's my time, y'all. Y'all be safe. When I mean creek, I'm talking about the body of water and not the native people that was fighting for their land. I got to go.
There it is, another LA Live in the books here, live from the Comerica backyard of Globe Life Field, getting set for half number two of the Texas Rangers season. The Orioles are in town. Evaldi versus Burns. We'll get you set for the pregame show and first pitch with Jared Sandler next right here in the Nation.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.